Where are you from?
We are from Switzerland.
Barry, you know what? We're going to focus on business right
now. Switzerland! I love Switzerland. It is one of my favorite countries. I love your army knives with the toothpicks and your cheese. Does the cheese come out of the cow with the holes? Our countries are not enemies. They are friends. We are friends.
You have been to Switzerland?
No, but I have a friend who drives a Volvo.
TBTL!
I don't know what this is, but Jay says it's a f***ing big sea turtle.
I'm sorry, but when I hear an undeserved compliment, it makes my ears want to throw up.
Oh, your ears are always throwing up about something.
I'm the king of the castle, and you're the dirty rascal. Crash into me. Crash into me.
Permission to be honest.
Permission granted.
I like that you guys are so weird.
Yes, we are the weird ones.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome everybody to a Tuesday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
People aren't going to get used to it because it's not get used to-able.
My name's Luke Burbank, I'm your host.
Hi, everybody!
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center. Perchtop, Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. Still seem to have zero customers at the Hummingbird stand that is now suction cupped to the window here at the broadcast center. I don't know if I need to go put more sugar in the sugar water solution. I don't know if I need to like run some kind of a trail from over where there are some trees, and I do see hummingbirds occasionally. I need to let them know that we basically have an old country buffet for hummingbirds happening right over here, and it's just going underutilized. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today, my friends. We're here to mention that it is episode 3,200 in a collector series. We made it. We wasn't supposed to make it past 25 episodes. Joke's on you. We're still alive. No, this is not my way of announcing I am running for president, even though I did just quote Kanye, who apparently is doing that. But no, we made it to episode 3,200 in a collector series, and it's going to be a good one.
Let the fun begin.
Tales from the Kitchen. I got a powerful craving for a discontinued McDonald's hamburger product yesterday. As can happen when you're poking around on like food YouTube, there are all these channels that are just like dedicated to recreating menu items from restaurants that maybe are discontinued. And well, it got me on this whole journey, and I'm very happy where the journey ended, because I made what Carrie told me was, I've got the text right here. You know what? I've got the receipts, people. I'm going to them, so you guys don't think I'm making this up. Response: that was maybe the best burger I've eaten in a long time. Good job. Hand clap emoji. What do you call it? Trophy emoji.
You call hamburgers steamed hams.
I want to share my secret wisdom with all of you coming up in a moment. Also, the state of Vermont has banned all food waste, or I should say, any food waste of any kind being thrown into trash receptacles.
I mean, trash is trash.
All food waste needs to go into special containers so that it can be composted.
Stinky!
So we'll kind of read through that and try to figure out how that all is going to work. We'll do that, plus emails and V-mails with this guy, the longest-running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. He has only good podcasting ideas. Although yesterday he was battling some negative thoughts at the beginning of the show, but he's got that handled.
Zink! They're out of there.
He's Andrew Walsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
That was me describing a hummingbird, I believe.
Yeah.
Was it not?
I can actually see them, by the way. Like, my neighbors behind the house, so I guess the, whatever, our neighbors, they have this, I don't know what kind of a tree. It's something that's like an evergreen of some kind, which I don't think of as a natural habitat of the hummingbird, but it's a pretty big tree, and I can see birds flying around it and into it and hanging out, and a number of them are hummingbirds. And then maybe 50 feet away, here I am with my free hummingbird sugar water, and they're showing no interest.
Well, you have a reputation for giving things time and just letting them unfold, and this is what you need to do here, because I do think that, I mean, listen, if your little hummingbird feeder is the kind that I'm picturing, it's a pretty small one too, it may never fully attract them, but even if it is going to attract them, I think it's going to take a little bit of time, get the word out there, or you'll develop a bond with a hummingbird, because we had like, I don't know, I can never tell when I'm looking at the same bird or different birds, but Genevieve's got me believing that some of our hummingbirds are the same two that keep coming back.
They're pretty smart, I think. Well, I don't know if hummingbirds are, but birds in general. I was watching a Tiki-Talki video the other day that made me feel emotional. It was like, imagine a little, like a starling, whatever the most sort of common bird in this part of the world is. They're brown, they're not that large. Well, this woman walks outside and was like saying the name of whatever this bird. It was a wild bird. It was one of those birds, but I don't know if it had fallen out of the nest. Somehow this woman had made friends with it. She walks outside and she says, Piper or whatever. His name might have been Celia.
Guys, wow.
I think
that
the
is
bird
a
was
deep
named Piper.
Cut. Based
I should have
on
just
the
left it.
Names of a friend.
I should have just left it uncommented upon and seen if. That would be a way to check in to see if our friend the Stewbot is still listening. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I believe the bird was named Piper, and this woman's just wandering around in just like a suburban neighborhood, like, you know, in the driveway, and all of a sudden, from a tree, flies down into her hand and lands in her hand, one of those little wild like starlings that you would see everywhere, and the bird was so excited. It was just like hanging out in her hand, and then they went back in the house to like have some dinner.
Really?
Which sadly was the bird. They
yeah,
ate the bird.
That's the...
gruesome
keep,
ending, really.
They keep falling for it. It's such a grim fairy tale.
Is that where bird brain comes from?
Can we talk about how good of a name Piper is for a bird? It's a great name for a bird, don't you think? There's something right? Like, it just sort of hints at this idea that you're making noise, that you're a songbird, but but it's not too on the nose. It's not like Tweedly D.
Yeah, it's a light touch. Yeah. What would the worst bird name be?
Hank.
Tweedly D, possibly. Hank? Oh, I could go with Hank.
Actually, yeah. I was just trying to think of the most. What about Brutus?
But see, that's in style now. It's in style to give birds, well, Brutus is a weird name, but like calling a bird Hank, I'm sure that we have listeners who, I mean, our dog is named Rudy. There's a whole thing with naming your pets kind of a what we think of as a human name.
How about Kevin?
To me, the worst.
What about just a name like Kevin for a bird? Do you think that's...
I like that, actually. Yeah. I'm into that. Hmm. Speaking of Kevins, I saw... this is just going to be the show where I just recite things I saw on TikTok. But there's this meme going around. I'm sure it's going around all social media, but obviously the one I interact with the most right now is TikTok, where it's like, who was the most famous person from your high school? Hmm. And so people will go in and find a yearbook or find their parents' yearbook, and they'll go turn to some page, and it'll be, you know, zoom in on the senior pic of whomever. And I can't believe this is true, but it would appear that Ed Helms, who is, you know, been in a lot of things, but he was known as Andy Bernard in The Office, and the guy who plays the Kevin character, okay, the kind of bigger, kind of bald guy, who has a very kind of stilted vocal pattern, would that be an accurate way to describe the Kevin character?
I think so, yeah, and he's always making people very uncomfortable.
Yeah, kind of a sort of oddball character. They went to the same high school.
Huh.
And this is the weird part. The guy who plays Kevin is 100% more normal looking in high school than Ed Helms was.
Really, really?
The picture of Ed Helms is, I was like, Does he have a comb over? What's going on? Like, Ed Helms seemed, and I think of Ed Helms as being, like, I love that guy so much. I think his comedy is funny. He seems charming. He seems like, I mean, he's into a cappella music. Like, he seems like the kind of guy who was sort of always just doing fine in life. Like, he seemed very, I don't know, meat and potatoes, middle American, likable, a little smarter than the rest, and a funny guy. And then you got the Kevin character, and you're like, what happened to that guy? And I swear to God, just based on these photos, it looks like that relationship was completely inverted in high school for these two people.
Now, was it Ed Helms who TikToked this thing out, or was it somebody else who just happened to also be in the same class?
I think it was probably somebody whose parents were in that class.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Because I'm the oldest person allowed to even interact at all. Oh, actually, that's not true, although she is much younger than us, I believe. I was scrolling through TikTok the other day, and who do I hit? Our friend Nora McInerney, just doing a TikTok dance.
Was it very popular? Is she blowing up on the TikTok?
No, it had six likes.
Really?
It might have seven now because I liked it.
But somehow your algorithm pulled it up. That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I'm following her now, but at the time I wasn't. I had no idea she was even on there. I just see she's doing a dance. It's like a joke about like if your husband is really attracted to spiders, and then she's just kind of, because Nora is a tall and lithe person, so she's doing a dance that's kind of spider-like.
That's funny.
But it had like six likes. It was like I was in an airplane flying over America, and I just looked down. And standing in a shopping center was Nora looking up going, oh, hey, what's up? It was so random.
Yeah, she somehow, as you were building up to that sentence, I was thinking in the back of my head, Nora. It must have been Nora. Because
really?
I feel like, well, just a brief second before you said her name, that's what my brain landed on, because it does make sense. Nora is like the master of social media. She is everywhere. Like, and she's like, boy, we talk about kind of cranking out a lot of content on this show. Ah, man, if you add up all the stuff that she's doing with her Instagram stories, sometimes I open up Instagram, I'm clicking through there, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, there's like a half hour of content here. And that's just one of the things she's doing. She's constantly grinding stuff.
By the way, Ed Helms and Brian Baumgartner, which is the name of the actor who plays Kevin, both grew up in Atlanta and attended the same private school.
Interesting. Okay. I'm looking up. I'm trying to see if I can find his high school photo here, if it's gone mainstream yet or if it's still in the TikTok underground.
I got a little nervous today because, you know, like TikTok is – well, they banned it in India because it's a Chinese company, right? And now, like, I saw a headline today that, the current administration really hates any kind of media that isn't squarely under its thumb. So that pretty much eliminates everyone except Fox News and One America Network.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw some rumblings about TikTok being banned. And I couldn't decide if that was a good thing or bad thing for me.
I have a Probably One America Network T-shirt. Should I wear that or... Mm-hmm. Not in posing for photos.
I wouldn't do it right before you're supposed to meet with some of your players for early summer practice and going over game film.
But you will admit it's a sporty look, though. I just like the way the shirt looks. It's just, it's kind
of
got pizzazz.
Yeah, no, it's a, sure, absolutely. Of all the shirts you could wear. I mean, if you're a head coach of Oklahoma State football, what are the chances of you coming in contact with a free T-shirt that says, I don't know, Oklahoma State?
Right. You got to wear what's in the closet.
You're going to have branded merchandise from this major college program that you run.
Right.
How on earth would you ever get an appropriate T-shirt to wear?
Nope. Got to use the news network one. News. Quote unquote exactly. News. I think I found a photo. I think I found that Brian Baumgartner, 1992, by the way, high school. So about our age, maybe
a little bit older than me. Because I was 9'4". You were 95, right?
And I graduated in 95. So assuming this is senior year that I'm looking at for him, which it might not be, he's a beefy looking kid. He looks like what he looks like? He looks like a character in a Far Side cartoon, doesn't he? Like the way his face is shaped?
The picture that I saw, okay, yeah, you know, this is, why do I insist on taking this conversation constantly to a visual place? I'm now looking at these photos, and none of these photos are the ones that I saw in this particular yearbook.
Okay.
In other words, I don't know if these ones are from the same year. You know, people change from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I saw on TikTok, I was shocked by, because the first person they showed, I didn't know who it was, and then I recognized that the other guy, Baumgartner, I was like, oh, that's the dude from The Office. So then I like had to go back and rewatch the video, and it took me forever to figure out who even was the first person, and then I figured out, oh, that's Ed Helms.
Mm-hmm.
So none of these pictures are representing the experience I had on that journey I went on. So I guess that brings this part of the show to an end, and I think not a moment too soon for the listeners.
I'm on my own little journey here, so to find this particular photo, which I actually sent to you just because this is a good podcast where we send each other pictures
quietly. Yeah, no, that was not the picture. The one you just sent me was not the picture in question. It's probably like maybe I don't know who's older in that relationship, but I seem to remember the Kevin character being in a suit, which always
adds a
dash of respectability. And, what was the journey you went on?
The little journey I'm on now is every now and then I'm doing a Google image search like I just did. And the place where my target pops up is on Pinterest, right?
Target.
And Pinterest is a weird site. Like, it's one of those sites kind of like LinkedIn where it really wants to force you to log in before you can really access stuff. It's a strange place. But I don't really play in the Pinterest space that much. But at some point, I must have gotten frustrated and just created an account for myself. Yeah, because now, like, I was just trying to download this, and I was just like, yes, Dashlane, yes, whatever, I'm in. Okay, fine. Now I'm kind of realizing that, like, I'm in Pinterest, and it's, like, suggesting things to me. But I guess these suggestions are based on, you know, things I probably looked up on the fly during the show before. Like, now I'm looking for it. It wants me to, like, look at Pinterest boards related to rock bands, which is a very generic kind of thing. Like, I guess, like, sure, I'm into rock bands, I guess. Marilyn Manson rock music and more pins for your popular interest. Music artists, soul music and more pins. Now, not unlike TikTok, I sort of feel compelled to click on things so that I can fix my algorithm, right? Like, this is all messed up now because it's just stuff that I was looking up for work. Well, except for this Minecraft furniture thing I'm seeing here. That's on point. But anyway, now I kind of am. And so I wonder, do we have any listeners who play in the Pinterest space? Maybe I should, like, just, like, dig into Pinterest for a week or two and make it my new social media obsession.
It's definitely very active because I had the exact same journey with Pinterest. Like, what would happen is a lot of times it was like home-related things. So I'd be Googling, oh, what are some cool ideas for some pavers you could do, you know, or whatever. And it would constantly bring up Pinterest. But then I'd try to look at it, and I wouldn't be able to look at it because I wasn't signed up. And I would be like, I don't want to sign up for this thing.
Yeah.
So I can look at a picture of some pavers somebody did in their backyard in Austin. Eventually, I guess I wanted to look at that badly enough that I did sign up. And now I get, like, feels like 10 times a day I get a message from Pinterest. Your pin from Concrete Swimming Pool was saved to a similar board.
See,
I don't even know what that means. I must have pinned. I am very interested in, like, those concrete swimming pools that are sort of slightly above ground. When I was staying in Mexico in the before times, the hotel had a pool like that, and I just found it fascinating. And I thought, well, if I ever live somewhere that's not Burbank Springs, and I wanted to try to have a swimming pool, maybe that would be, like, a cheaper way to do it. Turns out it's not. It's actually very complex. You still have to dig a big hole in the ground and then pour some really cool elaborate concrete thing. But I got that going. I got pavers going in Pinterest. And it's somebody moved something I had pinned. So in other words, I just said, oh, that's an interesting picture. Someone moved it to another board. And now Pinterest has taken the opportunity this morning to email me and let me know that happened.
Oh, somebody moved your pin. Who moved my pin? That should be the name
of your book. It's not, right? It's not even, like, it's not even a thing I did. It's a thing that I looked at and, I guess, pinned, that then someone, whoever had it, moved it to another board, and so they're letting me know that it's now at a different board. Like, you know what? Why don't you just take care of that back-end stuff, Pinterest, and then just let me look at the thing when I go back to your internet site.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Here I am. I apparently, my name on Pinterest, by the way, this is interesting, is Andrew Walsh. So that's interesting. So I don't know if I'm findable. Apparently my username is Radio Free Walsh. So I'll throw that out there.
That would track.
And that's often my name online. So
wait,
Radio Free Walsh is my username.
Are you sure this is you and not the Andrew Walsh, who's a teacher in Connecticut?
Let me see.
Is there a lot of Celtic music pinned? Because that's going to be a tip.
In my About You profile, it says, last name now, Wolf Jokers. So, I guess.
Sure.
Weirdly aggressive from either one of us, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know why it ended that way. Is that a new thing that that he's trying?
He's retiring Bozo and calling everybody Jokers now, which is weird. I want to say, you know, weird time just to postmort that whole experience on the show. But we had Andrew Walsh on, and Julian, his former student. And, like, that was the type of thing where it was unusual for us to have two guests on at once like that. We are two different phone lines. You and I are in two different places. So there were a lot of delays on the line. And I kind of went in and had to, like, kind of clean up that part of the show way more than I do when it's just you and I BSing on the line like we are now. And I think I kind of lost perspective on the powerful moments of it. I don't know if you ever get into that where you're editing something so much that you kind of lose the overall feel of it, sort of. You get too close to the tape, which is why we have editors, right, who then can come in and take a listen later if you're doing something of import. Anyway, it's really made me feel good to see that, like, some Time Bandits have been, like, kind of catching up and hearing that show, especially people, often people who are teachers or have a teacher in their life, and how much hearing the real Andrew Walsh, Ray Wolf, or Andrew Wolf, Ray Walsh, reconnect with his former student, and how much it meant to him, and as somebody who is, like I said in the interview, kind of a journeyman because he's a substitute teacher, not being able to kind of often have these reconnecting experiences and knowing what impact that a substitute is having on the students he's teaching. So it's just been really heartwarming to see people kind of emotionally react to that. And I'm so glad it turned out so well. I'm so glad we did that because we almost kind of let it kind of die on the vine.
I know, which is like, we made such a big deal about it. And again, that's on me more than you, as the person who kind of generally sets the plan for the day. Like, we were so gung-ho about it. And then we, like, made contact. And then, like, everybody was like, yeah, let's do it. And then it literally just came down to me remembering to send a couple more emails. Mm-hmm. And had a few listeners not been like, hey, whatever happened with that? It would be episode 6,400 before we would ever get back to it. So I'm really glad that we got to kind of like close the loop on that. And that was a really nice moment.
Yeah.
And if I were a teacher, that would really warm my heart because Lord knows you guys aren't doing it for the money or for the, relaxing schedule of getting up, you know, early in the morning and going and facing a room full of students. Whether you're feeling like it on that day or not. I mean, I cannot relate. I mean, we this job is basically, other than the drama that we create in our own heads around it, Andrew, this job is really a walk in the park. But even like when we were doing daily radio shows, there's a certain amount of stress there, a certain amount of pressure, like, when we're doing Ross and Burbank or whatever. But still being around other adults, and then drinking your coffee and then just kind of for like 3 hours, and not even 3 hours because it was commercials. So for like basically an hour and 45 minutes, kind of talking about the news and trying to be moderately entertaining. That's just so much easier to me than standing in front of a room full of young people and then saying like, now it's my job to keep their attention. And then when that group is done, let's say if you're teaching high school, now it's my job to keep the attention of another group of people, and not only keep their attention, but actually teach them something, prepare them for the world. And there have to be so many mornings where it's just you're not in the mood. You didn't sleep great. You might be a tad hungover. You're going through stuff in your personal life. And it's just like you got to keep doing it every day. I do not have what it takes to do that job. So big time salute to all of our teachers. And especially even during this pandemic, I know my sister Hannah is a teacher, and a lot of the teachers out there were really bummed about not being able to be in the classroom, which to me is also kind of interesting because it really speaks to the character of these people. Like, you know, if I were a teacher and I had a class, let's say a classroom full of young students, second graders, and it was just a constant challenge to keep them all kind of on task and to teach them stuff. And then someone was like, well, your job is changing now. You're going to do some Zoom videos. And I'm not downplaying anything at all that the teachers were doing remotely. But I know in certain ways, there could have been an opening for some teachers to kind of be like, well, this actually takes up a little bit less of my bandwidth, potentially. And every teacher that I know on a personal basis was just bummed they couldn't be in that world with their students, which I also just find a really, really impressive thing about the kind of person who becomes a teacher.
Yeah, I had a weird moment on Sunday. I had mentioned to you that we had a pretty, you and I did pre-record Friday show so that we could both like kind of take Friday off. And Friday was like, I didn't even have to really do anything to get the show posted on Friday. Like, it was a true day off. Like, I was able to schedule it all on Thursday. So the weekend felt long and luxurious to me. Where am I going with this? Is the question as we talk about teachers. Here's where I'm going with this. on Sunday, the last day of the long, relaxing weekend that I felt very thankful for, Genevieve and I decided to take a walk to the park. It was as idyllic as it sounds. We walked to Green Lake Park, where there was plenty of open space, but also a lot of people enjoying the beautiful Green Lake Park, which you know I'm a huge fan of. And as we're winding our way through people who are sitting on picnic blankets on the grass and looking for our own little spot, I overheard one woman who was on the phone talking to somebody. I imagined immediately that it was her mom. There's no reason for me to think that, but in that split second that you overhear somebody on the phone, sometimes you get an impression of or you guess who they're talking to. And all I heard her say was, "Yeah, things are good. I am going to start teaching summer school, and I start tomorrow." And she sounded really – that's all I heard. End of my hearing of that, I just kept walking. I had a lot of follow-up questions, though. But what it reminded me was that people have real jobs. Like her saying, "I'm teaching summer school this year, and I start tomorrow," gave me a quick little sympathy pang in the bottom of in the pit of my stomach, because if I had a job like that, I'd be like really stressed out, and I'll bet you I wouldn't even be at the park, because like I remember
Sunday would be shot for you.
Saturday, such a bad case of the Sundays, especially if you're starting a new job or you have some big new project. Sitting at the park, I would not be able to do that. And this person was just like, "Yeah, I'm teaching summer school, and I start tomorrow." And suddenly, I also got this vision of her just having her shit together and being like, "Yeah, I'm prepared. I have my lesson plans. I know what I'm doing, and now I'm going to spend the rest of this Sunday at the park." And it was a weird thing, but I admired that person from that tiny snippet of conversation that I heard.
You know who shouldn't be teaching the youth of America?
Me.
You know why, Andrew? Because yesterday I spent 3 solid minutes trying to remember what year it is.
Well, you could teach World War II history, though.
I'm writing this story, this TV story. And I was referencing, we're going to probably use this viral video in the piece, because the story is about hugging and about how there's not enough hugging going on, or at least what the kind of beneficial properties of appropriate and consensual contact is between people. You know, like basically our skin is a big organ and it has a lot of receptors in it. And with all of us being socially distant, it does do kind of a number on us in a certain way. So we're going to probably use that video of those two little kids on the sidewalk hugging. Which, by the way, I believe is $300 if you want to use it. I was told by one of the producers. But so we want to use that video, and I was writing about the video, and I wrote that it was – I looked it up and figured out where it had happened. It was in Manhattan. It was in 2019, and I had written something like, you might have seen this video last year. And then I thought, but wait, it's 2019 right now. But then I was like, but wait – I see all these ads, like these presidential ads, and it'll say like, unfortunately – it'll say Trump 2020. And then I'm like, but wait, but that would be next year he would be president for 4 more years. Like my brain locked up. And then what I eventually did was Googled, what year is it? I Googled, what year is it? And it turns out, Andrew, it's 2020. I don't know if you knew that.
It's 2020 now, or it's going to be 2020
now.
Yesterday?
Yes, as of yesterday, it was going to be 2020 today.
Today. Oh, that is interesting. I didn't know that. That's news I can use. It is odd that – listen, I've been there before, certainly. I mean, certainly with my age. I'm at an age now where it's like an insignificant number. I think like from 41 to 44, I'm always just going to forget it. I'm pretty sure I'm 43 right now. I want to be 42. I feel 42, but I think I'm 43.
Look 49.
And I'm sure there's been plenty of Oh, how about this? Somebody told me yesterday that they're surprised that I don't have asthma because I look like the typical guy who would have asthma. What the hell does that mean?
Are you at liberty to say who told you that?
Genevieve. No. It was that Zach. I kind of didn't even want to talk
about it. I was on a thing. An internet Zoom show.
I was on an internet Zoom show with a couple of guys that I used to fill in with from time to time at Cairo Radio. Zach Burns and Terry Holloman I think they're just trying to kind of launch and figure out where this thing goes, but it's, you know, I guess if you enjoy podcasts, but you want to watch them, you know, it's so weird to hear me talk about this because people are creating content like this all over. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know. It's like a podcast you can see. But, they stream it on Facebook.
How are we that outmoded already? I mean,
God, It's like funny.
You know what I mean? Like, there was a time when we had to constantly try to explain to people what a podcast is, and now people are trying to explain to us what it is they're doing.
Right. So anyway, so I joined them on the show, and I didn't know what to expect, but we just like kind of chatted about things for a while. It turns out that Zach currently is working, like a lot of people are, at a grocery store because they needed all the extra help, and he needed work. So that was great for me because I have a million questions about grocery stores. Mm-hmm. You know me, I love grocery stores. So that was a lot of fun. We talked about that for a while. We talked about – it was a pretty freewheeling conversation. It actually was a really good time, and if I sound surprised in saying that, I truly – I mean, I like Zach and Terry, but I just didn't know what I was getting into. I literally didn't know what the conversation was going to be about, if it was going to be serious or what. But it was a really, really pleasant time. But anyway, at some point, I don't know why it came up, but Zach just said something. Oh, we were talking about face masks and how I, you know, of course I wear it and everybody needs to wear a face mask, even if you're slightly uncomfortable with them, which I still am. And I tried to explain that. And I said, it's not a physical thing for me. I want to make it clear. I don't have any health issues. It doesn't, you know, wearing a mask doesn't make it hard for me to breathe or anything. And Zach just laughed and said, my God, you don't have asthma? Like, you just come off of, if anybody has asthma, it seems like it would be you. And I've been thinking about that because I don't know what that means, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't see that as a compliment. Again, peace and love to our asthmatic listeners.
Yeah,
but it's rarely something that you would want to hear, is something, a vibe that you're giving off. Mm-hmm. I guess. I'd never see, you've never struck me as asthmatic, Andrew.
Thank you. I mean,
we've done
that.
3,000 of these shows together, so I'll happily throw down my knowledge of you as compared to Zach and T. Hala.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But whenever it is that I do stand up for you, I will have no idea what year it is. So just know
that. That is. Oh yeah.
Be ready for that element.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say though, I feel like I'm being a really bad co-bro here because I should say what the name of their thing is so people can look it up. But whatever. I retweeted something by them yesterday. You can find
it
on Twitter.
It's called Burns and
Hala. Burns and Hala. Thank you. You know more about it than I do.
Well, I saw you tweet it this morning. I didn't actually listen, but I watched it. It looked really good. Is that a weird thing to say? Video quality.
Yeah.
Like, because you tweeted it out, or maybe you were responding to something that Zach had put out or Terry had put out, and then because it was like I was in bed, because you know why not start the day on Twitter from bed?
Yeah.
That's part of a balanced breakfast, and so I didn't actually like hit unmute on the I guess it probably took me to YouTube, but I was just kind of watching it, and I was like, this looks really good. This looks like you guys had, this sounds like damning you with faint praise, but the quality of the video is really good. You know, I liked everyone's backdrops. It looked like a good professional production that I would absolutely engage with.
Yeah, it was. I would engage with that content.
I know that sounds like I'm trying to sort of dance around something. It's just because I literally didn't hit unmute because it was early in the morning. I didn't want my phone to be too loud. But my takeaway from it, from watching it, was, hey, that looks like that was pretty good.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to damn Zach and Terry with faint praise either, but I will say that I got off the line. I had no idea what to expect. And Zach is a good guy, but he was just kind of like teasing me a little bit. I'm like, okay, I don't want to. He's like, hey, I'm doing a show. Do you want to be on it? And I was like, yeah, as long as it's not like a debatey kind of show. I'm not good at debates. I don't like that stuff. He's like, yep, we're only going to talk. I can't remember what he said. Like, it was something like, we're only going to talk about abortion or the West Bank or, you know, something, some hot button issue. And he just teased me about it. I knew he was joking, but I also just really did not know what we would actually be talking about. And then he gave me so many sarcastic answers that later in the day he said, we're going to start off by talking about Hamilton. I wasn't sure if that was a sarcastic thing, too. But we did end up talking about Hamilton. He ended up seeing it and surprising himself that he loved it. But anyway, point is, I got off the call. I got off the call and I was like, that was a lot of fun. And this is, again, such faint praise. And I just thought to myself, now, is it the type of thing? I mean, why would I even say this? Why am I being a dick? I don't know if for an hour and 6 minutes as I look at this, like who it's for necessarily. But I will say, as a public Zoom call, it was a lot of fun to be a part of. Like I realized, oh, I just spent the last hour laughing. Like, that's good. I don't know if a third party will enjoy it, but I certainly had a damn good time, and it went really well.
Well, muted from my perspective. It looked good. I saw that you must have either hung a piece of art behind you or turned your camera around because you were not in front of a bare white wall.
No, I was.
A hostage situation. Well, what was that? There was something behind you.
There's a little, you can see a little corner of it, and I think it helps. They used a different, it wasn't Zoom, it was a different service that a lot of people have been using for these types of things that I can't find in front of me right now, but I'd heard of it before. And it's a slightly wider angle. It's a more flattering angle. And I do have a photo that is, or not a photo, but a piece of art behind me on the wall here, but it's usually out of frame. And so I look real, you know, Abu Ghraib-y in my Zoom calls. Mm-hmm. And I had this whole thing about, well, should I move my computer around for this? And that seemed like a lot of effort. And so I just went with it. But then there was something about the angle of the program they used and the way that it like kind of brought all three of us into the frame together and framed it. It like was, very. Okay. Anyway, listen, that was all good. You can check it out if you want to watch it. Tell me if it was worth watching or if I just had a good time. But my point is about 2020. That is a weird year to forget. That's all. To put a pin in that. Is. Of all the years, I feel like this is a tough one to forget that we're in the middle of.
You know what it came down to is that the inauguration of the president, which, I mean, I don't need to do anything to add to the anxiety that our listeners, I'm sure, feel and that I feel that you feel. But I have a lot emotionally invested in the guy who's president not being president anymore.
Of the U.S.
And, right.
Okay.
If he wants to be the president of Hair Club for Men or scalp reduction surgery for dudes, okay, which is definitely a thing he had, which you know that, right? That's like a thing where they literally just like you're losing your hair, so they just cut out the part of your scalp that's like the bald part, and then they just suture the more hairy parts together.
Sexy.
But anyway, yes, as sexy as it sounds. But no, I think a lot of my brain space is taken up with trying to like figure out what I'm going to do just like emotionally if we have four more years of it. Mm-hmm. And like, it's a really honestly scary thought to me, not to be like overly dramatic, but it's like, I don't know how I'm going to get through that and how anyone else is going to get through that. And there's lots of data out there that indicates that it is unlikely to happen. But of course we're all so afraid to believe any poll. And so I think a lot about the election, and the inauguration is actually in 2021, right?
Yeah, the inauguration's
in January. Mm-hmm. The election is in November. The inauguration is in January. But I keep thinking about this moment in January when that guy might not be president of the country. And it's like I'm like floating in the ocean, and it is like a piece of the shipwreck that I can see, and if I can just swim to it and cling to it, I'll be okay. And so anyway, when I see all the political signs and they're referencing 2020, that was why my brain was like, mm-hmm, wait, but January is when the bad man goes away. And so it was just enough yesterday to flummox my brain. And again, you're right, it totally has to do with my age. Like, I commonly forget how old I am now because it's a not important number. You're right, though. 2020 is a round number. It is memorable.
And it just will be like a huge year in the history books. It's not only is it round and memorable, right, but it's just like aside from 9/11, you know, 2001, I believe 2020 will be the biggest year that we've lived through.
I don't know what good comes from comparing the two, but I would say arguably it's a bigger deal. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you really measure that, and that's not trying to get into comparing people's trauma, but I think between the pandemic and between the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm, and the reckoning in this country over the institutional and systemic racism, I think somebody smarter than me is going to make the strong argument at some point that 2020 was maybe the most pivotal year in a long, long, long time. I don't know. All right, so we should do this. We should take a break now that it's 40 minutes into the show. And then I want to come back. I want to tell you about the world's greatest hamburger that I made last night. And then if we have time, we'll talk about food waste recycling in Vermont. That's all coming up on TBTL. Stay with us.
Okay, everyone. This is our great new taste at McDonald's.
And we need a name for it.
It's got a new bakery-style roll, two leaves of lettuce.
Bakery homestyle
onions,
burger.
Peppered bacon. Tomato.
Supremo.
Processed cheese.
Supremo with cheese.
Ketchup.
tangy sauce, Arch, and a quarter pound meat pack.
Arch. Arch.
Daryl?
The new Arch Deluxe?
Yeah.
I was gonna say that.
Me too. So obvious.
The new Arch Deluxe with bacon. October's taste of the month at McDonald's.
Do you remember the Arch Deluxe, Andrew? I know you weren't a big fast food family, I think owing to your dad being concerned about the car. But do you remember the Arch Deluxe?
No, and the reason I would say that it was less had to do with the fact that, I mean, we had fast food from time to time, or certainly I don't know what this era was like, but I think it had more to do with our very pedestrian tastes, me and my sister. We would always just get a quarter pounder. We didn't veer into these more specialized sandwiches.
Exotic.
Because we were scared of cheese and sauces.
Oh, sure, of course. That would make sense. I was always up for a good McDonald's experimentation when I was a kid. I would, you know, if I got my hands on some money, I would either go to Jack in the Box, or if I was, again, feeling like a long adventure, I'd go up to the McDonald's in Greenwood. And, like, I was talking about this the other day on the show, the McDLT, which was the hot side hot, cool side cool.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one I'm forgetting. But anyway, the idea behind the Arch Deluxe, and this was in, like, the mid-90s, was this is going to be the kind of McDonald's is going to make a quality level burger that people, like adults, are going to get this on a date. Like, they're going to go to McDonald's, like almost like McDonald's trying to move into the fast casual space, like, and compete with, say, a Red Robin, that's a chain here in the Northwest, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just fast food. It's not just a sack full of burgers. It's like it's a delicious handcrafted burger that you would be happy to have even on a night when you're really trying to kind of like do it up right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a total flop. The lesson being, stay in your lane, everybody, everything. Never try to be anything better than what people think of you as, I think, is what I take away from that.
So, but what was this particular sandwich that you wanted to recreate?
Well, okay, so I was looking for something yesterday for whatever project I was doing, but in the way that the internet just is constantly delivering up odd content to you, to one, I landed on this YouTube cooking show where they decided to recreate the Arch Deluxe.
Okay.
And I think it's called the Mythical Kitchen, which I have to imagine is a spinoff of there's this show that's called like Good Mythical Morning. That's very popular. I think it's a very popular podcast and maybe YouTube channel. So this is called like the Mythical Kitchen. And it's basically these two guys, and one of them is kind of appears to be the sort of chef person. And they were going to recreate this burger. They'd figured out what the ingredients were, and they were going to make it. And I was never even – I probably had like one or two Arch Deluxes in my life. But there was something about the part of the day it was in. It was probably like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. I'm trying to intermittent fast, so I was feeling quite hungry. And watching them make this Arch Deluxe burger sort of from scratch – well, actually what they did was they got the normal McDonald's quarter pounder patty, because that's what was in the Arch Deluxe. But then the other thing the Arch Deluxe had going that was kind of unique was they had sort of created this disc of bacon. Like, they had basically created a circle of bacon that was the exact same size as the patty.
Okay.
So every bite of the Arch Deluxe, you got a big bite of bacon. And then it had this special bun, I think it was like a potato, split potato bun or something. And that was also supposed to make it, you know, extra nice. Well, here's what happened. I watched this and I decided I've got to build a time machine. I've got to travel back in time and I've got to eat an Arch Deluxe. But then I remembered I don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, well, what will scratch this itch? What is like this, but something I can actually make? And I thought, why don't I just try to make like a quarter pounder with cheese? Because I also love McDonald's quarter pounders with cheese. And so I got my hands on some Impossible ground beef, which is, you know, not real meat. But oh my God, Andrew, I haven't ever worked with this product before. And I know, I'm sorry that we have had so many conversations about plant-based meats lately, but you know, the other day I was saying how, like, I don't really care if, like, I'm having something that seems like meat. You know, I'm good with quinoa. There are days when I'm into that. For whatever reason, yesterday, I don't know if I was having low iron, I wanted something that was exactly like a real hamburger patty. And this Impossible, you buy it, you know, comes in a – have you noticed that, like, a lot of ground beef now comes in a square plastic bag of sorts? Like, that's – if you're going with the high-end stuff, that's the look.
For the vegetable based stuff, I'm trying.
Or the real stuff too.
Oh no, I don't know that I noticed that.
Really? Because when I was a kid, it was like ground beef was always on a styrofoam sheet wrapped with cellophane. Right? That would be like there. That would be in the refrigerator. Is that what it looked like in your childhood growing up?
I'm trying to think. If my parents were a little bit meat snobby, so they might have gone to like the market more. But I know what you're about. I know what you're talking about. And now I think I might even know what you're talking about with the square packages. It's just like I haven't bought ground meat in forever. But I think I know what you mean.
Wait, you don't make anything with ground beef in it?
I just haven't in a really, really long time. I can't remember the last time I did. I mean, if we're going to make hamburgers, I prefer to make them by hand, but even like for a party or something. But the last party we had was a year ago, and I know that we bought pre-made burgers, and I just so rarely buy ground meat.
Huh. Well, the look now, I just emailed this to you. You said you probably already figured out. When you're going for any like higher end stuff now, whether it's fake meat or real ground beef, they really like to put it in these like plastic, like square plastic bags. It's just kind of – it's a design touch that I think probably tells your brain subconsciously, oh, this is a cut above. So
– and less styrofoam, anyway, which is – people don't like styrofoam anymore.
Yeah. Which is also not a bad thing. So anyway, I go and I print out this – the beautiful thing about the internet is that if there's anything you want to make – like, however weird it is, somebody has spent weeks of their life figuring out how to do it, like food-wise. Like, if it's a specific kind of restaurant flavor. Like, I remember one time just getting obsessed with making the Cheddar Bay biscuits from the from Red Lobster. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, I mean, multiple websites dedicated to that one project.
Because mm-hmm. those are, like, status, right? People love those.
So I wanted to make something that was a quarter pounder with cheese. And so I printed out this thing, and it's a very simple recipe. You basically get a bun, you get some ground beef, you salt it, you got to have a little ketchup, mustard, chopped onion, two dill pickle slices, and then you won't like this part, Andrew, but two slices of American cheese. Now, what was amazing, though, was I made the little patty out of the Impossible meat, salted to taste, did the thing, and then there were just these little... This guy who put this recipe together, he clearly knew what he was talking about because there were these little weird touches that it would never occur to me to do. Like before I did anything with the meat, you brown the hamburger bun in the pan where you're about to cook the meat. So you brown the hamburger bun and you put it to the side and then you cook the meat. And then when the meat is cooked, there's a very specific order of events in terms of how everything comes together. You spread the ketchup and then the mustard on the top of the bun, okay? Has to be on the top of the bun. Then you add the onion and the pickle. Then you put one slice of cheese on the bottom bun. Then you put the beef patty on there. And then you put another slice of cheese on top of the beef patty. You put this sandwich together. And then here is the weirdest part, Andrew. You microwave it for 15 seconds.
I was going to ask you, because the cheese, it seems like the cheese should be slightly more melted than that.
And that's exactly what the microwave did. It also just did that kind of thing where it kind of warmed the bun up again. It kind of, in a slight way, made the whole thing a little bit more soggy, but like in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. You don't usually think about wanting soggy bread, but if you're trying to recreate a McDonald's experience, well, then that is part of it. Like the steamed hams that are then wrapped up in paper give it a kind of a bit of a soggy vibe. God, I'm so hungry right now, man.
That's the thing. Okay, so I have tried... With my, I'm trying to think of some other examples. There are other things that I've tried to make, and I've hoped that they would be sort of, I don't know, have a certain, as we say on the show, verisimilitude towards the real thing, or somehow trick my brain and my mouth into thinking, oh, I'm having this thing I'm craving, even though maybe it's normally a meat-based product. This hamburger that I ate last night was. Seriously, if you blindfolded me, I wouldn't be able to tell you it's not a McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese.
To reiterate, you're using Impossible, right? And that's the good stuff.
Impossible.
Yeah.
I think it's the best stuff. I even Googled it, though, to be honest with you, like because there's a million products out there now. And I had a less great experience with the Beyond. This is probably a personal preference. But most of the – anytime they do like the top five of this thing, the Impossible one pretty much usually comes in first place. And I can recommend. I mean, it was doing the whole thing yesterday when I was cooking it because, you know, it has like they've got like, you know, beet juice in there and stuff. So that when you're cooking it, just like if you're cooking a real hamburger, it starts to get that kind of oily, and this is gross, but slightly bloody sort of surface going on the side that's yet to be cooked if you were to be frying it in a pan or whatever. Mm-hmm. It totally has that. Like it 100% has it. There's a term for that too, right? Somebody was telling me for whatever they call that, that beet juice stuff.
Oh, that in this kind of, oh, I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, so it was. I mean, I'm sure that this is so uninteresting to the listeners, but I cannot tell you the sense of satisfaction I had eating something that tasted like a McDonald's quarter pounder that I made here. Like, I was so excited that it worked because I was like, oh, guess what? I can eat, I mean, you know, that's probably not great for my waistline, but I can eat a McDonald's quarter pounder with cheese anytime I want right here at Burbank Springs and have it be very convincing.
I know this isn't the restaurant we're talking about, but there's now a very real possibility that I am going to Burger King after this show. Mm. I'm so hungry right now. You know how I well, I think it's kind of obvious we all have these moments. Maybe you and I have them a little bit more, but where you just, especially around food, you really picture a specific experience. It's not even mm-hmm. so much about the food necessarily or the quality of it. It's just like, I want this experience. That's often what leads me to a place that is a diner where I can sit at a counter. You know, like I'll take much less good food if I can sit at a diner counter often than better food sitting at a table, like whatever. Way off track here. Point is, I don't know. Oh, I know what it was. Jimmy John's was in the news yesterday because just some more bad stuff happened to Jimmy John's.
Do we dare? Sorry, I don't want to take this here.
Let me finish my sandwich story, and then that'll give you time to think about it. So anyway, Jimmy John's is in the news. Jimmy John's owner is not a good person. Whenever bad stuff about Jimmy John's floats to the top again, then you get all these tweets that are reminding you what a terrible company it is as far as what they support in the world, and do you want to support that? But anyway, the weird thing is I'm not a big Jimmy John's person. I've eaten there maybe twice in my life, but just reading this news about the shitheel who owns Jimmy John's made me start thinking about sandwiches. So what I wanted to do was I decided when I was done with the show, I was going to go get a Subway sandwich. And I had a very specific idea in mind, which is I like to mess around with goofy flavored potato chips from time to time, but I also have a very narrow range of the types of potato chips I like. Like, I don't like sour cream and onion. So I like to go to a 7-Eleven and sometimes they'll have, like, I don't know, sausage. They literally have sausage flavored chips. And, you know, could I blind taste test it? I don't know, but it's a fun little thing to do. So, or pickle flavored chips or ketchup flavored chips, that type of thing. So I decided, I just saw it in my mind. I'm going to drive to the Subway that is on the Ave in the University District. I'm going to get my Italian BMT from there. I am going to go to the 7-Eleven across the street. I'm going to get some bag of weird chips there. And I'm going to bring my water bottle. And I am going to sit in my car because it's pandemic time. I'm going to get these things. And I am going to sit in my car and listen to the BBC and eat. I don't know why I wanted to do this. This isn't something I do a lot, but I just was really in the mood for it yesterday. So I drive to the Ave, and I'm like, huh, where is that Subway? I park on a side street, and I look at my phone, and there's no Subway on the Ave. I think there might have been at one point. I don't know how long it's gone, but already you see the fissures in my big plan to eat lunch meat, right? Like, oh, there's no Subway here. Does this mean that I drive to a different neighborhood that has a Subway, and I go to a 7-Eleven there, and I'm already mapping it out. I know where I can do that kind of in the Fremont-Wallingford area, the 7-Eleven directly across the street from a Subway. I have them all mapped out. But then I'm like, do I want to drive there? Am I that dedicated to a goddamn Subway sandwich right now? And then I look, I'm like, well, there's that cafe on the Ave, and they're like a small independent business. And then I look over my shoulder. I'm parked directly next to this place called Cafe on the Ave that Genevieve loves. Good salads, good soups, good coffee, and good sandwiches. But I am now confronted with this idea that, like, I enjoy a decent sandwich, but I've never been a sandwich lover, which is probably why I like Subway. If I'm going to crave a sandwich for lunch, I'm fine with just grabbing a Subway. I don't want to go to some place that is kind of like, oh, we have this special BLT or BLTA, or, like, I'm just not into that sandwich scene. But I'm like, well, I should support this local business. Let me give up on my hopes of a Subway, and I'll go in and I'll get a sandwich from this place. The only thing that had ingredients that I mostly would like was some sort of a turkey sandwich, usually comes with Swiss, and avocado, and some sort of a seasoned aioli, like an herby aioli, served on a croissant, Luke. I order this sandwich. I say, I'll get this, no cheese, please. I take it out to my car. It also comes with a salad, but I still went to the 7-Eleven across the street. They didn't have a lot of good chip options, but I bought some Hawaiian barbecue. Anyway, point is, this sandwich may have changed my life. I may
need
to stop
had life-changing,
going to Subway.
Life-changing food experiences,
like,
really.
Genevieve loves sandwiches, and she'd been telling me about the sandwiches at this place forever, but like, I just don't hear it. Like, I just don't care about sandwiches that much. This thing was so goddamn good. Well, I guess when you're using a croissant as bread, that's already one step up, I assume, on the competition. So anyway, that's a long story about a sandwich that I had yesterday that just blew my goddamn mind. I sat in the car. I had my bag of chips on the seat next to me. I had this sandwich, which was messy as hell, in a little box. I listened to a tribute to Ennio Morricone on the BBC, who just passed away. And it was quite the moment. I had to adjust my expectations for the moment, but it was quite the moment anyway.
That's good. I respect that you were able to just like roll with it, because when I get a hankering like that, you could have told me that the nearest Subway sandwich shop was in Fife, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're going to Fife today. I get very locked in on things. I'm also surprised that you roll the dice on potato chips, because, like, in other words, when you buy a bag of sausage flavored chips or something, which, as I've always said about a lot of these chips, I think it's more the advance that was really made around all of these exotic flavored chips is really about bag printing technology. Now that they can print a hyper-realistic buffalo chicken wing on a bag of Ruffles, well, why not throw a little bit extra whatever flavor on there and tell people they're buffalo chicken? Like, don't you feel like that was – they just figured out how to represent the flavor visually, and then they were like, yeah, well, whatever. And who can really tell? Like, that was, to me, what I started noticing. It was like molten wings – flavored chips, I think, for a while Ruffles was playing in that space.
Yeah, I don't fully agree with you on that, which is why I kind of backed off that part of my story a little bit, because I was like, there's no doubt about it that, like, and these aren't even newfangled things, but they're kind of like new to me, this idea of, you know, in Canada, they, for a long time, my Canadian friends grew up with like ketchup flavored potato chips and and pickle, and also if you get two bags of those and you eat them like together, that's a great flavor combination. Like, I actually do like that, and I know that this bag of sausage flavored potato chips that I got about 3 years ago, I can tell you the 7-Eleven. It's that 7-Eleven that's in like a Wallingford, Fremont area. Like, I remember buying those sausage potato chips and being like, oh yeah, no, that's good. Like, but I also know that, like, you don't believe in it any more than you believe in that the TSA is saving lives, and I just don't think I can convince you of it. And also, I haven't experimented with that many. I haven't tried the wing blaster or the super, and I avoid any kind of cheesy kinds of things. So my experience is limited, but my experience is positive.
Got it. Well, no, I mean, ultimately, I think that's brave of you. And by the way, yes, that's where we've set the, the bar at bravery on this show at. Got some chips, didn't know how they were going to be. But like, I'm very particular, because if I'm going to have a sandwich and I'm going to have some chips on the side and my diet soda, I want, it's very, like, if I were to buy some chips, like, take a risk, roll the dice, and then they weren't, I didn't like the taste of them, it would kind of like almost ruin the whole thing for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm very particular about that. But that represents, again, a certain amount of bravery on your part, Andrew, and I salute that.
It definitely was. And I will say that was the one part of the meal that, I mean, I could have skipped the chips, but I was just like, no, I have this idea in my head. And I spent so much time in that 7-Eleven. I already have my sandwich, by the way. Bought the sandwich first. I'm carrying that around, and I go into the 7-Eleven on the Ave, and everything on the Ave is pretty, not everything, but a lot of it is kind of gritty. Like, this isn't, even as 7-Elevens go, this is not like a very top-notch 7-Eleven. It's what we call shitty in there. And they have, you know,
stinky
bags of chips. There's not one single place in this 7-Eleven where you can easily peruse all the chips. Like, it's a small, narrow store, and they have chips in about four or five different locations. And I'm walking back and forth between all these locations. Like, I pick, oh, they have some new flavor of Bugles that interested me for a second. Then I realized it was a sweet flavor. It's like cinnamon and what's the, I think of it as a Mexican kind of dessert treat that's rolled up. I've never had one, but
A churro?
Yes, they have churro flavor. Did I describe that correctly? Is that a Mexican dessert treat? Okay. They have churro flavor.
Yeah, it's basically
flavored.
Like a fried, it's a kind of a, almost like a long fried ropey donut kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I haven't had one, but they have that flavor on Bugles now, which is interesting, but not what I wanted in that moment. I didn't want a sweet chip. And it occurred to me as I was just wandering around, I was like, are people going to be mad at me because I keep on picking up bags of chips and putting them down and we're living in a global pandemic? And then finally I just gave up and I grabbed these, what I know to be generally solid chips, but not exactly what I wanted, which is like a sweet barbecue, like Hawaiian flavor, which was fine, but not, it didn't, again, it wasn't what I was picturing. It wasn't what I needed for that moment.
Speaking of Jimmy John's, I need to, it's a bad, the guy, I don't need to reward that guy or even God bless his franchisees with too much of my business, even though we really got into a Jimmy John's thing the last few weeks of ordering from there. What I need to do is I need to go down to my local purveyor. They're called Porto Subs, and also probably a franchise, but one with less hunting of big game that I'm aware of, mm-hmm. and making dough nooses. And I need to figure out like what their version. It's kind of like what you did. Like you were hearing about Jimmy John's, it made you hungry, but then you wanted to go Jimmy John's adjacent.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What I need to do is go down, I need to put in the work, I need to be a hero, and I need to like just figure out exactly what the best order is from the local place, and then just make that my go-to. Because I'm sure they have something that's pretty close, you know what I mean? And then I can eat it and enjoy it and not feel guilty.
And is it the Jimmy John's, I'm going to use the word addiction, although that's too strong of a word, but interest in Jimmy John's sandwiches, has that coincided with you going vegetarian? Is it because they do the veggie sub in a way that you really crave?
No, you know, I was into like back in my heavy meat eating but lower carb eating days, they have a sandwich I do where they just wrap it in lettuce.
Right.
Actually, our friend
that.
Toon was the one who hipped me to that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, that was a revelation because, you know, you could eat that thing and you didn't miss the bread that much. So that's what kind of got me into it. But then, I like the bread they use, unfortunately. And it's just a little bit proprietary. It's a little bit specific to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not it's not like some of the other places. And so that's the only part that I will be foregoing that if I go with something else. But, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small sacrifice to make.
Try a croissant. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says, sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
All right, any emails you'd like to share with us today before we get out of here?
Let me read you one stem winder here from our friend Kelly, who says, Luke's story about almost pooping his pants on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me reminded me of one of the most humiliating moments of my life. I believe it was my sophomore year of college. We went to a party and, of course, drank beer from the keg. I remember the beer was particularly foul, but beggars can't be choosers. We drank quite a bit there, and then we proceeded to the next party. At that party, my stomach started to feel not so great. I was extremely tired and emotional at this point, but I made it to the bathroom. However, it's a house party. It isn't the place to be feeling this way because people were pounding on the door.
Yes.
The story could end there. Like, yeah. That is a nightmare scenario to me, to be in a
yes.
to be like this age at a house party having distress like that, and just know, even if everybody's being polite, just knowing that there's a line of people outside the door, let alone pounding and being drunk and yelling at you.
I don't believe in ever knocking on a bathroom door in anywhere outside of your own home, maybe with your own family. Mm-hmm. Like, Carrie and I were at this restaurant called The Fork that we love here in Bellingham. That's now reopened. They're doing everything very safely. Cool place. And they have one bathroom, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wanted to go wash my hands in the bathroom because we had been walking Rudy. And I went to the bathroom, and the door was closed. And I was like, I'm not knocking. Because if someone is in there, I don't want to stress them out. So then I just went and waited on this bench. And then no one came out. And then I started to think, I wonder if the person who used it last just shut the door without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, I'm never. That's a mystery that is never going to be solved for me, because I'm just going to go sit at the table and spray my hands with hand sanitizer. I am not going to knock on that door no matter what, because I don't want to create that scenario for somebody.
Sometimes you got to knock. I'm with you.
Right.
I didn't need to
go to the bathroom, so this was a unique circumstance. If I had to go, I guess I would have, but there's nothing worse than being in a you know, bathroom like that anywhere and having someone knock on the door. Because also, there's no good response. I'm in here. Or, excuse me. Like, is there anything
occupied?
Occupied, which seems kind of rude.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good response when someone knocks on a bathroom door and you're in that bathroom.
This is another argument for, and I think I was maybe slow to come around to this, because this was a setup in a Thai restaurant that you and I both know very well because it was by our old place of employment. But having the sinks outside of the bathrooms makes so much more sense to me now, like, especially as we just have genderless bathrooms. Do we just have a room where you can go in, do what you got to do privately, and then have the sinks outside where everybody washes their hands? You don't need privacy to wash your hands, number one. By making it public, you have more public pressure on people to wash their hands, which is great. And also, why does the guy who has to wash his hands have to go into a room with a toilet anyway?
Yeah, that is a good solution. I remember Jen had a thing called Just a Minute Ron.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the origin. I think it involves somebody pooping off the side of a boat. When she and Jason were like on vacation somewhere and somebody was having a problem. I don't know if it was her, but saving everyone the time. Actually, you know what? Do email me about the origins of Just a Minute Ron.
Yeah.
I remember that being, it was a go-to for
that's
a while.
A very, very famous line. I mean, I don't know the origins of it either, but I do know that it was super famous. Maybe we should just have Jen, maybe we should just call Jen later in the week, or Andrew Walsh and Julian, and have them tell this story. But, all right, so anyway, so here we are. So Kelly is in this bathroom. People are pounding on the door. Fortunately, she says, I was drunk enough not to feel the embarrassment. I, of course, blamed any unpleasant order on the person before me. I then proceeded, good move. Nobody believed you, by the way, Kelly. I then proceeded downstairs to the basement where the dance party was happening. A little bit later, probably while dancing to House of Pain, I again felt not so great. You know when you're drunk and sometimes you think something is a good idea, but it turns out to be an awful idea? Well, I was busy dancing.
I can't relate to that at all.
You know that feeling when you have a boat? Keep driving it into something. Well, I was busy dancing and I thought, I think this is just a little gas.
Oh, no.
Never. Just don't. Even in my own home, I've learned this. It's never,
I mean,
just a
honestly,
little gas.
Also, you're dancing. There's people around. Even best case scenario.
You're just crop dusting?
Best case scenario, you've created a situation.
Yes.
And anyway.
But she's drunk.
Yeah,
it's been a long night. I'm busy dancing. I think this is just a little gas. It wasn't. Just to give you some idea of my drunkenness, I didn't realize what had happened until I went to the bathroom later. So I tied the flannel shirt I was wearing around my waist and I went back onto the dance floor. I wasn't the designated driver, and I certainly wasn't going to tell my friends, hey, I accidentally shit my pants. We need to go home now. So I danced. I have no idea how long we stayed, but it was a good while. Good news is I felt better. Later that night, we all piled into the car, and I mean squished into the car, to head home. I have never told that story. No one in the car ever said anything if they noticed a particular odor. I never asked because I'd rather remain a drunken, hazy memory. Honestly, thank God I was drunk because sober me would never have been able to handle that. So, says Kelly, that's my poop story.
The part I find the most amazing is that that wasn't the end of the dance party for her.
No, I know.
You know, like the sharding or whatever happened was not, that was it. Because, I mean, that's the, for most people, that's, we're going to call it after that. That's when we've decided the festivities are over for the night and we need to get to a shower ASAP.
Can I, this is a controversial thing to say because, I want to start by saying, kids, don't start smoking cigarettes. They're bad for you. I don't think people should smoke. But this story does remind me of why I am so glad that I smoked in college. Because smoking was more than smoking. It was a reason to go outside without being weird. It was a way mm-hmm. to disappear for sometimes hours at a time. And right. nobody knows because you're like, I'm going to go outside for a cigarette. Nobody really notices you're outside. Then you're just gone for a really long time. And then if anybody asks, you're like, oh, yeah, I was outside smoking. Like nobody's really right. keeping track of you that have you been outside for 4 hours? Did you smoke a cigarette the last time I saw you? And now I just am seeing you again. Like it just and also it can cover up the smell of poopy pants. Not that I ever use a cigarette in that way.
Yeah. When I worked at Dick's, this is how long ago this was. You employees could smoke in the bathroom.
My God.
Of Dick's Drive-In. And I didn't understand why people would do it. I'd go in there and there'd be like, there was this plastic cup they would issue you that would be your personal cup. They would do like a label maker, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be like, and this was your cup for getting like soda, anything you were going to drink while you were at work, you used this. It was almost like a coffee cup. It wasn't that big. It was like a... something you might get from a diner in the 70s or 80s, like a plastic coffee cup with a handle on it and your name. And I remember one of those cups that didn't belong to anyone just sitting there by the toilet and having like ash in it and people smoking in the bathroom at Dick's. And I realized, oh, it's because, yeah, you know, it takes the edge off of any kind of, unpleasant odor that might be left behind.
That is true, but also like going into a bathroom that doesn't have good ventilation with both the odor of a bathroom and cigarette smoke is also bad.
I only remember it smelling like cigarette smoke. So
really?
Whatever was going on. I mean, I went a whole summer and I would rather die than go number two in that bathroom at work. I was very, where I hung out was this thing called the 35er. Which was basically the walk-in freezer, although it wasn't. It was at 35 degrees, hence the name the 35er. So it was really like a walk-in refrigerator. But it was so hot working there in the summertime. There was no AC, just big giant glass cube, and then just sunlight streaming in and like no way for the heat. And then a bunch of grills going, and you're also, you know, cooking fries in like a hot oil thing. It was so torturous. And so then you'd like, for your lunch break, you'd go eat lunch in the 35er. And it was just like heaven. And then it'd be like, I'd be looking at my watch, like, I got to go back out there in 2 minutes. I got to go back out there in 1 minute. I got to go back out there in 30 seconds.
Oh, man. This is a little bit off topic, or goes back to the idea of using tobacco smoke to cover up stench. I have this one memory. It's not my memory. It's a memory of something a teacher told me. And it's weird. I don't remember the teacher's name. I believe it was in high school. I feel like he was a new teacher. And he came in, and for some reason, he told us that he had a job. This is in Cleveland, of course. He had a job that as like some sort of a part of a custodial team at Cleveland Municipal Stadium, which is like the old Cleveland Stadium, which is like really old school and probably a place where you don't want to have to clean the bathrooms if you can avoid it. And I remember him saying that there is nothing more nasty than having to go in and plunge a toilet in Cleveland Municipal Stadium, which everything I know about.
Oh, I can believe it.
Cleveland and Clevelanders' diets. I'm in Browns fans. I'm buying that. And I remember he said, well, what you would do is you would just get the biggest cigar you could find and we'd all just smoke cigars and clean and plunge away. And so it's weird because I think I heard that story long before I ever had a cigar, and now whenever I think of a cigar, I think of him smoking it and puffing it away as he's just like trying to clear a log jam, if you will. And it's just, it makes me gag.
You need to be wearing one of those weird masks that has the very long beak on it that they would wear during the plague so that you could not get too close to someone.
Oh, man. I mean, and looking back, it's like, it's just like, it's a snippet of like, I don't even remember this guy's name, and I'm sure he taught me for a full year. Like, you know, it's just like, the only thing I remember about him is that I remember him being a slightly, like, he thought he was a little bit cooler than he was, sort of, and a little bit pugnacious, and that he told us this story. And it just stuck with me.
I think about that with this show sometimes. Like, you never know the random aside that's going to stick in someone's mind, and years and years and years later, they'll remember that one thing about this show.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap her on up for this Tuesday, 2020. See,
oh, I didn't have to Google that. It.
I just
you got it. Nice.
Now I have it in my mind. We're in the year 2020. That's gonna do it for our show. We can talk about Vermont food waste tomorrow. But until then, I guess enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody. I'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.